Bond traders placing bets on what those central banks are going to do. For Marketplace in Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler, and for David Brancaccio. We're set to get some information from the Federal Reserve this week about how monetary policy can support more economic recovery. And as usual, traders are trying to be one step ahead. Jeffrey Cleveland, chief economist at Payden & Riegel, is here to discuss what that means for bond traders. Jeffrey, good morning.
Good morning.
So it's interesting. We have a bunch of central banks trying to figure out what to do. Bond traders also trying to figure out what those banks are going to do, right?
That is correct. Bond traders now seem convinced that central banks around the world, you know, including the Bank of England, including the Federal Reserve, will have to act in the, well, very shortly for the Bank of England, but maybe in the year ahead for the Federal Reserve to rein in budding inflation problems. While I do see and acknowledge that the bond market is pricing in rate hikes, I don't know that central banks will actually deliver. We saw the Reserve Bank of Australia acknowledge that, yes, short-term rates have gone up, but it might not be appropriate to raise Australia's policy rate until 2023. You know, I think the similar story might play out with the Federal Reserve. Rate hikes, I still think, are pretty far off on the horizon.
Jeffrey Cleveland is chief economist at Payden & Riegel. Jeffrey, thank you so much for doing this.
Have a great week.
And in the We're Still Learning How to Regulate Cryptocurrency file, some investors lost a lot of money in a matter of minutes after buying a new cryptocurrency inspired by Squid Game, that popular Netflix survival show. The currency called Squid began trading early last week at a price of just 1 penny per token, but by early Monday, one token was selling for $38. Then the currency's value spiked to almost $3,000, and 10 minutes later, it was worth 7/10,000ths of a dollar, and the folks in charge, not to be found. Be careful out there, y'all.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Video game maker Activision Blizzard is going to report earnings today, and whether the company brings it up or not, it's facing a lawsuit brought by the state of California alleging sexual harassment and discrimination. Last week, the company's CEO, Bobby Kotick, said he would ask the board to drastically cut his salary to $62,500 until the company shows progress meeting gender diversity goals. It would be a dramatic shift for somebody who made $150 million last year, but as Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino reports, it fits in a growing trend of tying executive pay to diversity measures.
We've heard a lot of corporate promises about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And this year, companies like McDonald's, Nike, and Starbucks are tying some executive pay to fulfilling those promises.
In the past, usually these incentives have been almost exclusively focused on financial outcomes.
Yojud Chang is a business professor at the University of Virginia. About a third of S&P 500 companies report using a diversity measure in compensation programs, a growing trend. But Chang says the devil is in the details.
You do sometimes see a more subjective system where the board can say, yes, the CEO is doing it. No, they're not.
Rather than hitting specific data-driven targets. But companies are sometimes reluctant to set hard and fast numeric goals, says Ken Cook, a director of compensation practice at Willis Towers Watson.
A lot of organizations are probably still learning what all this means to them. You are setting out a goal, but you don't really know the path to get there.
And he says for many CEOs, this wouldn't affect their longer-term earnings like stock options. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Vaccine mandates for New York City police officers went into effect this week. Meanwhile, the requirements for officers are causing debates in other places like Chicago and Los Angeles. Marketplace's Caroline Champlin has more on how those disputes are playing out.
When COVID-19 vaccines first became available, many police departments were eager to get them, says Chuck Wexler with the Police Executive Research Forum.
They were getting sick. They were dying. So when the vaccine came out, many were arguing that their folks should get vaccinated first.
Police unions got involved, Wexler says, and wanted to negotiate the rules.
People aren't simply stepping back and saying, look, let's put aside all our differences, labor and management. We got to look at this as a public safety issue and not politicize it.
Police unions in New York City and Chicago have challenged the mandates in court. UC Hastings law professor Dorit Rice says arguments usually come down to a question of harm on behalf of the public.
They're in a service profession and they interact with people that are extremely vulnerable.
Police and fire departments in New York City are bracing for staffing shortages over the mandates if employees take unpaid leave or sick time. Brian Higgins is with the John Jay College of Criminal Justice.
I think what you see in New York is going to be consistent throughout the country is as these mandates get closer, you're going to have some people that are going to really think about whether or not taking the vaccine is worth losing their job.
Higgins says it's less about the health aspect.
It's the mandate that they're having the issue with, this hard and fast rule with very little deviation or exceptions allowed.
Higgins says officers would prefer to follow the more lenient federal vaccine rule that makes exceptions for vaccination if you get tested. But according to former OSHA head and George Washington University professor David Michaels, police departments in dozens of states won't even be subject to that.
Like Florida and Texas, for example, public sector workers work in what we call OSHA-free zones. They have no OSHA coverage.
Their vaccination rules for police officers will be up to local governments. I'm Caroline Champlin for Marketplace.
And in the OSHA-free zone of Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.